I'm going to be honest. I'm going to have to make another trip to Washington, D.C. I did not know that this place existed.
Yeah.
I'm reading this story in the New York Times, and it is fascinating. The International Spy Museum.
Yeah, so for years, more than 10,000 items in the International Spy Museum's collection were actually stored off-site. That changed this summer, and now all of those items are in a new vault in the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. And when I read this in the New York Times, I called them up today. And I spoke with Eliza, the director of media relations there. And I said, you guys got to call in and tell us what you have in that vault. We are obsessed with even some of the photos they have of the disguises and the cameras that have really been used in spy operations.
Eliza Brand joining us from the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. Eliza, welcome.
Thanks for having me, you all.
Whose idea was this? We didn't even know there was a spy museum. And how is it that there's so many tools of the trade that came into your possession?
Sure. Yeah, we were born on a beautiful night in 2002, which now is quite a while back. It was basically the brainchild of our founder, Milton Maltz, who had done some time for the Korean War, got pulled into the NSA. And when he was working over there, he was so impressed by all the code breaking that was going on. He thought to himself, people would want to know about this. Americans would be fascinated. And he went on to make his money and work in business and create a whole radio station conglomerate, if you will, and came back to that idea now that he had a bit of time and said, why don't we make this happen? The Spy Museum. It could be something really special and it could teach people what's going on behind the scenes.
Give us some idea, even some of the World War II era artifacts that you have that really show what spy craft looked like and how it evolved over the decades.
There's so much. And truly, I should say, we start way before then. So World War II is really when things start to become a bit more official. So the OSS is created, which is really the precursor to the CIA. The same is sort of happening in Europe at that time. And so things become more kind of professionalized, if you will. But one of our best artifacts, I think, and I know I'm a history nerd, so, you know, you can love all of them, but I think this is a real treat. It's a special letter written by George Washington in 1777, wow. And it sets up the first spy network in this country. At the time, I guess, not even in this country, in the colonies. And that intelligence network is what really helped the American people win the revolution and create the country we know today.
So he being George, President Washington, future President Washington, wasn't the president in 1777, but he would go on, or these people that were part of this original spy network, I'm assuming would infiltrate somehow, some way, the British army and then report back to the colonial army?
Yeah, so they found it was kind of difficult to get military folks in and out and get the information that they needed. And they kind of saw a need to have a quieter approach, if you will. So
a more subtle approach.
More subtle, yes. So George Washington put together this letter, chose a man, Sackett, to lead this network. He did it for, quite frankly, a small fee. I would have expected it to be more, but it was $50 a month out of his own pocket.
Wow.
Yeah, you'd think it would be more expensive, but I guess you don't know what quality you're getting, right?
Right. listen to this, Scott. The Spy Museum has also received gifts and loans from international governments. The South Korean government, for example, lent items said to have been seized from a North Korean spy who crossed into the South. Among these is a pen that, when clicked a certain way, would have been capable of injecting a paralyzing agent into its unsuspecting victim. This is stuff out of the spy movies.
Yes, and a lot of the spy movies are inspired by the reality. I think sometimes the reality is a bit more absurd and crazy than the fiction of it all.
By the way, I had never heard of this guy, and I too am a big history buff. Nathaniel Sackett was the original American spy master.
Yes, and he wasn't very good, I should say. He did set it up, But I think he was only working it for about 6 months before he got fired. He did a terrible job. And then they put in Benjamin Talmadge. And that truly is the name that if anyone has seen Turn, the television show, he really is the head of the Culper Spy ring, which did all of the hard work that made the intelligence happen on that side.
Well, Sackett must have been terrible. After the war, it says here he applied for a job with the federal government, and George Washington basically told him to get lost.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so that makes sense. That's funny, but that makes sense.
Listen to this, Scott. There, one of your colleagues, Eliza, is quoted as saying there are some challenging elements to housing this collection because so much of it was meant to kill people or destroy or distract. We have powders that were meant to be tipped into gas tanks that could essentially erode the gas tank quickly so you could disable somebody's vehicle. What are some of the other more, I don't want to say dangerous items. I'm sure you don't have like Ebola in there, but you probably do have to be very careful with some of this stuff.
We do. We have a bit of a unique challenge in that a lot of these items are maybe used for dangerous activities. So we do need to make sure that poisons are not still present. Sometimes we run into that.
Have you run into that? Seriously?
We have. It wasn't, we didn't open it and release the poison, but we had folks check it out. Again, we do heavy, heavy due diligence when things come through. We do a lot of research. We work with a lot of experts and professionals. So it didn't go anywhere, but we checked it, and it looks like it may, in fact, be poison. And then we dealt with it accordingly.
If somebody is listening to this show right now and they're thinking, hey, we're going to Washington in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and they want to swing by the museum, what's the one thing you would say, you've got to see this? It is the most incredible, bizarre, weird, interesting item in the museum that is available to the public?
Sure. I would say there's so many directions I could go with that, but I would say the ice axe we have. It's a one-of-a-kind item. It's a bit gory, so it depends. You'd want to make sure the kids are old enough that this isn't too gruesome, I suppose. But we have the ice axe that was used to kill Leon Trotsky. It was really a murder of the century. And you still can see it, the rusted, bloody fingerprint on top of it. It's absolutely nuts.
What is the word you're using? Ice axe?
Ice axe.
Oh, ice axe. Okay, got it.
An ice pick, if you will.
I'm also seeing here that there are so many items that are really two things. The purse actually conceals a camera, a pen conceals a micro dot viewer, and a shoe has a knife in it. You have a shoe that has a knife in it?
We certainly do. We probably have more than one. We have a spatula with a knife in it. I can tell you, you could put a knife so many places. These are things I did not know about until this job.
Where are you located in D.C.?
We're in L'Enfant Plaza. So we opened in a totally new building in 2019, and it's massive. We've expanded our collection. We tripled the artifacts that we have in our collection. So it's a real fun time. We're located about a block and a half from the National Mall and about a block and a half from the wharf, which is a gorgeous space where you can see the water.
So when you watch like a James Bond movie and you see a car that the headlights flip open and there's a machine gun there, or he's got this watch that can do horribly complicated things, does it make you laugh or you're like, oh, we've got one of those?
Well, it depends. There are certain things we do have. I'd say we have many watches. A lot are cameras or listening devices.
Yeah.
But I think it's hard not to enjoy the pop culture of it all. I know that that's how a lot of our audience comes to us, and that's the knowledge that they bring, correct or not, right? So we have such a blast talking about what things are realistic and what are not.
Eliza, tell Scott about the British spies that used a mini motorcycle that could unfold in seconds after parachuting behind German lines during World War II.
Oh, the Well bike. Of course. It's so cute. It would actually come in a little canister, which is cool, and open up. I have to say, you're probably best off if you have short legs, but, you know, when in doubt, You just need something that works. But it looks like a teeny, teeny, tiny motorcycle, and it will just get you where you need to go.
That is crazy.
The next time I'm in D.C., I'm going to swing by. I can't wait to see the museum.
Oh, you have to. It's a blast. It's fun.
All right. Eliza Brand with the International Spy Museum in Washington. Thank you for your time. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. You take care. 913-586.
A motorcycle that comes out of a little can?
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.